The basic grace of reparation. In the light of what we've seen so far, I think we can now ask ourselves the fundamental question. What is the most fundamental grace that those responsible for abortion need to be converted from their evil ways? The most fundamental grace they need is the grace to believe in life after bodily death. Modern society, certainly modern Western and once Christian society, is so hypnotized by the baubles and tinsel and toys of this world that it actually thinks this is the only world that exists, or at least the only world we are sure exists. No wonder a flood of crimes follows this mentality, including the crime of abortion. Once you question, or worse still, deny eternal life, then human life here on earth becomes an end in itself. You want to stay on earth as long as possible. You want to suffer as little as possible. You want to enjoy yourself as much as possible. You try to squeeze every drop of pleasure that you can from every moment of your life here on earth. You will invent previously unheard of ways of self-gratification and self-indulgence. And not coincidentally, I'm speaking of that one of the 50 states of our country which is being used by those who believe that every American has a right to take his own life whenever he or she wants to, or take the life of another undesirable human being. Abortion, infanticide, euthanasia go together. So what do? You will terminate innocent human life because you want to. Because you want to. Including the life of an unborn child. Your will is law. Through the several thousand word encyclical of our present Holy Father, Veritatis Splendor, in one sentence that encyclical can be summarized, the modern world has substituted man's own self-will for the will of God. As I tell people, this is the new paganism, no longer the polytheism of the Babylonians or Egyptians. Oh no, this is strictly monotheistic, only one God, and that God is I. In other words, you take another human life because and when it interferes with your own pursuit of pleasure or your avoidance of pain. Why not? On these terms, selfishness becomes the norm of morality, and self-worship becomes the guiding principle of this new paganism. The Roman philosopher Seneca. Here's what he said. The highest authority that man can exercise, said Seneca, is to take his own life on his own authority. We go on. The sacrifice of the Mass in expiation for abortion. I would like to be as specific as I can be to bring this conference into focus. We are asking ourselves now not whether we are to make reparation for the crimes of abortion. No, it is rather how through the sacrifice of the Mass we are to make expiation for the crime of abortion. And our answer is, there are three ways. And my only fear, as I expressed it before, is to think that this is somehow rhetorical piosity. What are the three ways that through the sacrifice of the Mass we are to gain reparation for the crime of abortion? First, by assisting at the sacrifice of the Mass. Secondly, by living the Mass. And thirdly, by having sacrifices of the Mass offered in reparation for abortion. First then, assisting at Mass. There is no substitute for personally assisting at Mass as often as possible. First, let me be clear. We believe the sacrifice of the Mass is a single most powerful means that God has given us for obtaining God's mercy for the conversion of sinners. That is an act of faith. The measure or degree in which the Mass will obtain that mercy will depend first on our assisting at Mass at all. It will depend at how many Masses we assist. It will depend on how fervently we assist at Mass. My notes tell me to tell you, I cannot exaggerate the importance of this practice, because inevitably, as a society weakens in its hold on the Catholic faith, even the daily offering of Mass drops off, and priests may go on for days without offering the Holy Sacrifice. This places an intolerable burden on the faithful. Whatever you can do to encourage priests to offer daily Mass will be blessed by our Lord. One way to ensure this is to attend Mass during the week, and no matter what inconvenience to your daily schedule. In the early church, during the major persecutions, the faithful went to Mass and Holy Communion every day. So convinced were they that the Holy Sacrifice would enable them to expiate the pagan hatred of Christianity. They were right. The pagans were converted in such multitudes that by the year 100, there were over 100 Catholic dioceses established around the shores of the Mediterranean Sea. Secondly, living the Mass. Assisting at Mass is not enough. We should also live the Mass. If we want to make effective reparation for the deadly crime of abortion in the modern world. What does this mean? To live the Mass means to join our sacrifices. My dear friends in Christ, in the name of God, I beg you not to think I'm indulging in poetry. There is a heaven, there is a hell. If we take Christ's words literally, the road that leads to hell is broad. The road that leads to heaven is narrow. And Christ the living God tells us, and few there are that walk it. There's only one chance to walk that road. To live the Mass then means that we in our lives embrace the cross. 46 years in the priesthood has given me, shall I call it, the luxury of knowing the kind of homilies and sermons I used to preach. Nothing like I talk nowadays. Oh, the rhetoric, the big words. What am I doing now? Telling people, in the name of God, embrace the cross. Love the cross. In the cross is salvation. And that's what living the Mass means. Loving the cross. Each one of us has our cross sent us by God, and we embrace it. Christ, being now glorified, can no longer suffer in his own physical person. No matter. But he wants to suffer in his mystical person. That means in us. When then we speak of the Mass in reparation for abortion, we mean the Mass which Jesus offers in union with us. He carried his cross. He shed his blood. We are to carry our cross, and I mean every syllable, and we are to shed our blood. And let me tell you, and the cheapest blood to shed is bodily blood. I got an express mail, priest that I've never met, today. unjustly accused. Just a pack of lies. Yet his bishop sends for him, and without any warning, sends him indefinitely into a monastery, in effect, into prison. And the priest is absolutely, utterly innocent. The suffering that people are enduring and the need they have to be inspired by the example that we can provide them. It takes suffering, expiatory pain, to obtain for those criminals who are murdering millions of unborn children throughout the world in our day. When we speak of the Mass in reparation for abortion, we mean the Mass which Jesus offers, I repeat, in union with us. Christ is suffering. He is suffering in his mystical person, which means in us. The Mass is both Christ's sacrifice. He suffered his part, and now we have the privilege of suffering ours. The more patient our endurance, the more resigned to the will of God, the more ready we are to die in obedience to God's will in our lives. You've got your lives to live and I've got mine. The more with the masses we attend, the effective means of expiating, repairing the awful consequences of the, I call it, cosmic crime of abortion. More abortions have been committed since 1900 than in all the previous centuries of human history put together. I still have one more part to cover in this conference. Having masses offered, one of the hopes of eternal life is to inspire the Catholic faithful to have masses offered throughout the world in reparation for legalized abortion. It was the great apostle of the Holy Eucharist, St. Leonard of Port Maurice, who wrote, "The world would long ago have been destroyed for its sins, except for the thousands of masses offered each day throughout the Catholic Church." I may bold to say that as masses were offered in reparation for the murders of our unborn human race, God's mercy will melt the hearts of stone that are responsible for this massive genocide. I have the privilege of spending quite some time in conversation. You may have heard the name of Dr. Nathanson, who had had thousands of abortions that he himself had engineered. He was converted and now has become an apostle promoting human life. But we've got to keep in mind our duty. We are indeed to assist at Mass, and I repeat, if possible, every day. By now, how many times I've complimented the faithful people coming to Mass in the morning at 6:30 at Jesu. Why, try at least 2 weeks of every month to have the 6:30 Mass at the parish church. I thank them in the dead of winter. Thanks for coming. Thanks for coming to 6:30 Mass. Your faith strengthens mine. Thank you. We priests need the faith of the laity to strengthen our own faith. We are indeed to have masses offered in expiation for abortion. But to summarize what we're talking about, the most important message I can leave with you is that we are to live the Mass. I would like to change the verb. We are to die the Mass in our own lives. I don't hesitate saying we have no option. I believe it is a divinely imposed obligation. And we hope to expiate the satanic crimes of almost 100 million abortions throughout the world every year. With a profound reason for living. Of all the ages in human history into which we could have been born, why now? God from all eternity chose just this period, the most homicidal century in human history. It could only be because he wants us to make the 21st century the most glorious in the annals of humanity. St. Paul tells us, where sin has so abounded, grace will even more abound. Yes, but not unconditionally. There's a condition. We must do our part by loving Jesus Christ crucified. Loving him so deeply that we want to carry with him, like him, for him, our share in his cross here on earth as a prelude to that eternal life for which we were made. Amen. Thank you for listening. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.